This week's episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers rents premium strollers in the Orlando area. Whether it be a single, double, or special needs, they can help you out. Kingdom Strollers is also Disney approved, which means they can deliver directly to your hotel and pick it up when you're done. The next time you're headed to the Orlando area, don't pay extra to fly with your stroller. Save that room in your trunk for those extra pair of tennis shoes you'll know you'll need. Contact our friends over at Kingdom Strollers at www.kingdomstrollers.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Ma chère mademoiselle, it is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight. And now, we invite you to relax, let us pull up a chair, as the dining room proudly presents your dinner. Be our guest, be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, Sherry, and we provide the rest.
Hello and welcome to show number 174 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going, and welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to be talking counter service restaurants that are our go-to places. Meaning, these are the places that are the most reliable. They're always there for us. We could always get a table. We could always count on it being good food. And it's just places that over the years, we always come back to. For tonight's show, we have Lisa with us. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
How you doing, Ed?
Doing good. Doing good. Lisa's just back off her trip.
I am.
Have you gotten back into the routine yet?
No, not yet. We just got back a couple of days ago. Still takes me a few days, a few more days to kind of get back into the swing of things.
Gotcha. Anything new?
Rivers of Light.
Oh, that's right.
I had to sit and think for a second, but yeah, Rivers of Light,
Still haven't seen the full video of that yet. Only like a couple seconds.
You know, you're down in July, right?
Correct.
I saw Jimmy's angle tonight, and he had a completely different view than I had.
Okay.
And I really like my angle better.
Where were you?
So the Fast Pass entrance is on, right across from that little bar kiosk thing just before Expedition Everest.
For the buses?
Yes.
Okay.
So that is where the Fast Pass entrance is. So all of those seats are Fast Pass. The dining package entrance is right across from the entrance to Finding Nemo.
Okay, yep.
And then the standby entrance is maybe 1,000 or more feet up on the right. So the way that they have the standby line is if you are, you know, and you're coming over you've just passed the Tree of Life and you're off to the right there and you're coming over the bridge and you're heading into Asia, there are cast members there that tell you if you're there to stand in line for Rivers of Light to turn back. That if you're doing the standby line for Rivers of Light, you need to go around to Dinoland. And
okay,
That's where the standby entrance is. So
So does that mean where your entrance is where you sit in those stands?
Yeah,
okay, so and you were in which one?
I had the dining package.
So you were in the middle.
Yeah, I was right smack dab in the middle. I was actually as far left as you could have possibly gotten and as high up as I could have possibly gotten. And I didn't live stream it only because Charlotte had just done it 2 days before, and I thought, I don't want to overkill.
Now you know the different locations.
Yeah, I didn't watch her live stream. She had a dining package as well. But I happened to be standing behind sitting in front of a gentleman who's a local. And it was his third or fourth time already seeing Rivers of Light. And he had seen it when they tested it back in December. And he said that he gets the dining package because where we were sitting, and it was just by happenstance, where we were sitting is the best angle he's seen so far of Rivers of Light. And it was amazing. You could see everything. Whereas when you watch Jimmy's, kind of the boats are in the way a little bit.
Right. Gotcha.
The boats are not in the way for the dining package section.
So where was he? He was in Fast Pass?
He was in Fast Pass.
Gotcha. Okay, so I guess we're having a sit-down at Animal Kingdom.
Well, that's the options are minimal or non-existent is what I would call them. You only have the option of Tiffin's for lunch or dinner, or Tusker House breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Oh, I was thinking Yak and Yeti might have been in there.
No, and had it been in there, I would have done that because we loved it, that last experience. But obviously, Tiffin's is a wee bit more expensive than Tusker House, so we went with a Tusker House breakfast.
And that's the character breakfast,
yeah,
right?
It was the character breakfast, which I've never done before. I've never done Tusker House, period. But we had looked at the menu, and we originally had lunch reservations, and then the day before, a breakfast reservation popped up for 8:40 in the morning, and I said, do you want to get up early? And she said, if I have the option of having breakfast where I know I'll like everything versus a lunch where the menu is a little eclectic.
Well, did they have anything weird for breakfast?
No, I don't think that they did. I thought it was a great buffet for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. There's not much you can, unless they have something African, quote unquote. There's not really screw up. I mean, it's eggs, bacon, sausage,
waffles.
Yeah.
They had everything of the sort with some desserts, and they had cereal, and they did have a great selection. And we just thought that it would be better for our palates to do breakfast. So it ended up working out in the long run. So that was an 8:40 breakfast reservation, and then we had a 7:15 Rivers of Light. So that's a long gap there.
I was going to say, I just thought that through as far as going from breakfast all the way to nighttime.
Which it worked out for us because I'm trying to think, that was Saturday. And Saturday is the day after the run. So we got up early. We went to breakfast. We went and saw the Lion King show. And then we left and went to the pool and sat in the hot tub and went back to the room and took a nap. And then got back up and went back out. And we had fast passes for Everest and the last Finding Nemo show.
Cool. Okay, so now for tonight's show, we're going to talk about the counter service restaurants that are our go-to places. And just to be clear, counter services, for those that don't know, those are the restaurants that you're basically going to go up to the counter and order and then find your own table, as opposed to the table service, which you're going to have a waiter and you're going to pay a little bit more money for. So now, each park has a number of different counter services, and over the years, it just seems that we kind of start going to maybe one or two a little bit more than the others. What do you think, Lisa? Do you end up going to one or two maybe more than others, or do you really love to experiment and that doesn't happen at all?
No, I think we have our go-to restaurants, our go-to counter services, even more so. It's the foods that draw us in. So if we're coming up towards the end of a trip and I know I haven't made it to a specific restaurant for a specific meal, I'll get a little antsy and know I need to head back over to that area in order to hit that up.
Yep. Now, and what's cool about counter services, you can hit them anytime. And it's really nice because with the family bouncing around the parks, you don't really have to get tied to that schedule where you have to have a reservation or something like that. Okay, well, what park do you want to start at?
You know, I think let's start at Epcot.
Okay, very good. I like Epcot. Okay, well, let's start with Future World as we're coming into the park. Do you have any go-to places in Future World?
You know, I've been to Electric Umbrella once or twice, but I think for me it's Sunshine Seasons.
Awesome restaurant for the choices.
Yes, absolutely. And it's, you can go there. I believe they just changed where they're opening up a little bit later, but they still have the option of picking up those bakery menus and grab-and-go snacks early.
Yeah, we usually hit that on the rebound after the first Soarin' ride, usually in the mornings. And we'll go over there for an orange juice or a muffin or something like that. And once in a while, we'll be back later on in the day for maybe a lunch or for a dinner. They have so many great things down there. And what's kind of nice is they have the staples where they have the different stations with the chicken at the one, the pork chop at the other. But they do rotate in other things, so it's really nice.
No, the last time I went there, I had the Mongolian beef. It was so good. And I'm not somebody that typically eats Mongolian beef all the time, but I didn't expect it to be as good as it was. It tasted so fresh. It tasted so good. It tasted Disney.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. They put a lot of effort into that. And just in case you've never been down there, it's a restaurant with a number of different, what do you call those? I guess counters.
Mm-hmm.
That have the different type of food at each one of the counters. You'll have a carving station down on one counter. You've got a salad counter, I believe. There's a sandwich counter. And just so many good choices. And the bonus, again, is that it's in the land. So by the time you do your Soarin' ride or whenever your fast pass is, you can always work in a meal if you're hungry.
Or even just to stop by and grab a quick bite. It doesn't necessarily have to be a full meal. It could be something that you split with the group that you're with or your kids. There's a lot of great food options over there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I just hate going down there just to go to the restaurant. It is kind of a hike, so we try to tie it into the everything else. But, yeah, definitely. Okay, so now we're moving further into Epcot. Do you have anywhere else in Future World?
No, I think Sunshine Seasons probably my favorite.
Yeah, I agree. Now, as we go into World Showcase, there is so many good places to eat. And we do have one or two go-to places because basically going with the kids, it's a little tougher to experiment so much. However, the one place we really, really, really like is China. The Lotus Blossom, I believe that's the counter service Chinese restaurant. And we always have a great meal there.
I've actually never experienced the Lotus Blossom.
Oh, no, it's a really, really good restaurant between the noodle bowls and I think it was sweet and sour. And they also have egg rolls, kind of basic things like that. It's a really good menu. And kind of like all of Disney, all of Epcot, everything is really, really fresh. And it's good portions, too. Really good portions.
Oh, see, that's outstanding. For me, it's a trip to Norway. I go to the Kringla Bakery. And, yes, I can get my school bread there. But more than just the school bread, they have this Norwegian club sandwich. It is so good. It is so good. It's got turkey on it and ham, bacon, a couple of different types of cheeses, and they have this mayonnaise on it. It just tastes so good. And it's a pretty decent size for, I think it's $9.
Yeah, see, now that's one of those things you find almost by accident sometimes, because when do you think you'd find a sandwich in a bakery? And I tell you what, there's another, the France bakery, the French bakery, has the same thing, where they have real sandwiches in there along with the bakery items, too. But that sounds like a good sandwich. Might have to try that one out.
It's really good, and I just happened to trip over it because I was there for school bread.
Oh, right. Exactly. You never know. Now, one other place in World Showcase that we always go to, because it is really good and it's always very reliable, is the fish and chip stand over in England. It's right, you know, out of the fryer, fish and chips, and you know what you're going to get, and it's really, really good.
Yes, that's the Yorkshire fish, and that is a go-to for me. I mean, I'm a big Rose and Crown fan, regardless. We like enjoying the dining room there at the Rose and Crown, but if you don't have the opportunity, you don't want to spend the money for a table service. You don't want to spend the time for a table service. It's the same food coming out of that Yorkshire fish that you would get at inside the Rose and Crown, so it's definitely worth it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. No doubt at all. And usually we'll get that, and depending on the time of the day, we'll just go down on the lake and eat at one of the tables down there. So it's a nice little relaxing time in the afternoon sometimes. Okay, anything else at Epcot?
No, I always want to throw out, because, like I've said before, typically for me it's about, you know, the school bread. What drew me to the Norwegian Club while I was there for the school bread? Very seldom do I make it through the World Showcase without stopping for some caramel popcorn in Germany. So that is one of those places that I'll always stop for a little extra sweet treat over a caramel kush.
Oh, good. Good. That is good. I haven't been in, I've been through the caramel store. It's been so crowded, I've never actually tried to, like, kind of hang out and got something now.
No, it's, you have to get it fresh. You can get it off of the display on the front, but that's something that they packaged up earlier in the day or yesterday. You can actually get it fresh, freshly popped, freshly caramelized, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, well, so I tell you what, let's move to the Magic Kingdom. Now, Magic Kingdom, I think as far as a comfort restaurant or a comfort counter service, is great, because the entire park in the entire Walt Disney World, to me, is the comfort park. Well, the Magic Kingdom is our hometown park. It's definitely someplace where we like to go, get on the fast rides, but definitely relax a little bit, too.
It's definitely a slow-down park. Enjoy the scenery. Enjoy the ambiance. Enjoy the music. Enjoy the sights. So, yes, the food here is certainly part of enjoying the taking a step back and enjoying just the little things.
Oh, no doubt. And it's funny, as you say that, I'm thinking of the choices I have here, and they both fit the bill for those reasons. The first one I'll throw it is Columbia Harbor House, which is over in right as Fantasyland hits Liberty Square, hits Frontierland, that little area there in front of the Haunted Mansion. And it is a really good restaurant in that you have a bunch of different choices. I normally get the tuna fish, which is weird because who wants to eat tuna fish on a hot day anywhere? But it's really good there. And we always go upstairs and try to find a window overlooking one of the sidewalks down, you know, outside. And we do basically eat, little people watching, and just hanging out.
Oh, we were just there. I just went to Columbia Harbor House on Sunday. It was the first time in a really long time that I have been to the Columbia Harbor House, but I thought it was really good. I believe I got the fish and chips. It's certainly a staple at Magic Kingdom, but not one of the ones on my list. So I'll throw out. I typically find myself drawn to, especially with the new menu, Pecos Bill Cafe.
Okay, sure.
They have a new taco burger there that I think is amazing. And their nachos there with the fixin' bar. That alone could be a meal in and of itself.
That's Pecos is on my honorable mention list. My only complaint about Pecos Bill's is why I can't enjoy it as my comfort restaurant is it gets a little claustrophobic sometimes in there. And however, which was really kind of cool, last time I was down there, I didn't realize the amount of dining rooms they actually have in there. You can kind of keep on walking around for about 5 minutes and keep hitting new dining rooms, and eventually you're going to find some room. But, yeah, normally when I go in there, it seems really, really tight. Usually I go for the burger, or it used to be for the burger.
Yeah, their burger there is really good. Their beef nachos are really good. And they do have outdoor seating there. it's not a lot, but they do have outdoor seating out front. I've sat there and watched the Boutiou Parade go by for the Halloween party. But there, the dining room is certainly, if you keep walking and walking and walking, there's just dining room after dining room after dining room.
Right. I was amazed one night. We just kept walking around in there, and it was just so much room. And you're right, with the outside, also along the Adventureland side, they have a bunch of tables out there, too. But still. Anyway, my other restaurant in Magic Kingdom, Counter Service, which I think is pretty cool because you get to watch other people, you get to have a little bit of entertainment, and you have your choice of almost any type of counter service food you want. That's going to be Cosmic Rays. The Cosmic Rays Grill is awesome over in Tomorrowland in that it's a pretty big restaurant, a lot of seating inside and out, and you really can get anything you want. Chicken, burgers.
Cosmic Rays is my honorable mention. So we kind of seem to be intertwining here. And one of the reasons why I like Cosmic Rays, yes, the entertainment, the environment, the food is really good, but it also offers... I have four kids, and two of my daughters have allergies, and they offer a really good allergy menu. They're able to adapt almost all the food that they have in their menu for my children's egg and dairy allergy. So we tend to be drawn in that direction when we have the kids.
Oh, sure. That's a good reason for that. And that makes it a little bit more comfortable to be able to get that type of food. Or stay away from it.
Right.
Did you hear about the Gray Tray Lottery?
No, I did not.
At Cosmic Rays. I found that out last time I was in there. I ordered food, went up to the counter, waited for it, and the guy gave me the tray full of food, and it happened to be a gray tray. Didn't know anything about this, but he's like, well, there's one gray tray out of the hundreds and hundreds of brown trays they use. I think the other color was brown. Well, anyway... it's kind of like a funny thing where they just do that, but they gave me a Mickey Mouse straw, which was kind of cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think you get those straws extra with your soda for like $1 or $2 or something like that. So minor thing, but still something kind of cool that just came up with and pointed it out.
That's great. That's absolutely outstanding. So with Cosmic Rays being my honorable mention, my second go-to... counter service would be Casey's Corner. There's something about coming to Magic Kingdom, getting myself a good barbecue slaw dog with some french fries, and sitting out and enjoying all that Main Street and the Hub have to offer.
Yeah, that sounds good. I love Casey's. I love the dogs. I guess my problem is I can't eat a dog when it's 100 degrees out, and usually we're only there in the summer times, and that ends up being kind of one of those places that gets really hot.
Yeah, you know, I absolutely understand that, and for the last couple of trips that we have gone on, believe it or not, we have actually done Casey's typically 35, 40, 45 minutes before the nighttime shows, the castle show and the fireworks. Mm-hmm. More so because if you find the right outdoor seating there, you don't need to move.
Right. Well, that's cool.
You can actually sit and just sit and enjoy the show. And I agree with you about a hot dog on a hot day. It tends to be a little too much, but it's a little bit cooler at night, so we've been able to enjoy that side of it.
Marie, I just had a thought because when you guys did the Keys to the Kingdom, they had you eating over across the way over at Tomorrowland Grill or Tomorrowland Terrace. I'm going to take my dogs over there next time. Just get them at Casey's and just walk across the street and eat them over there.
Yeah, go sit down over there out of the sun and the shade.
Right. And there's always a breeze going through that area.
Yes, there is. You're right.
Yeah, I have to remember that now. Okay, so let's move on. Now, let's go over to the Animal Kingdom. Animal Kingdom, we really don't do table service at the Animal Kingdom. I think a long time ago we might have done the breakfast at Tusker House, but that's been it. Usually it's only counter service for us anyway. And the first one I'm going to throw out, it's a staple, It's the Flame Tree Barbecue. Probably one of the best barbecue restaurants in the entire property, Walt Disney World, in my opinion. And they've got some really, really good combos, so you can go all out, or you can just get what you want, like a pulled pork sandwich by itself, or the pulled pork with the chicken with the ribs. And still, for that whole big combo, for under $20. It's not a bad deal. Another cool thing about Flame Tree is the seating, is there's always seating. There's so many different levels of seating tiers, I guess you'd call it, or seating areas, that we've never had a problem finding a seat. And we're talking summer times. So definitely Flame Tree is one of our big comfort restaurants. Pretty much one of the top ones over, I think, most of Walt Disney World, believe it or not.
Now, here's one of those bashful moments for me. For that, up until really my last trip to Disney World in October, the long trip, I usually only spent maybe 2 or 3 hours at Animal Kingdom, and that was it, and didn't spend any time eating food there up until just recently. So I still have yet to experience the Flame Tree Barbecue.
Oh, okay.
So, but I will say, I absolutely agree with you. I think the seating, the outdoor seating behind the Flame Tree Barbecue, has one of the most beautiful views of Everest.
Oh, right. If you keep going way, way back by down by the water, it is really nice.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most beautiful. And I've gone back and sat there with a cup of coffee, I think, or a cup of tea, and just enjoyed that on a moment where I just wanted to slow down and take a look at things. But I've never had the food at Flame Tree Barbecue. I'm almost kind of ashamed to say that. So next time I will have to do that.
Oh, definitely. That's what's so great about going back.
So this park is a little bit more challenging for me because I really haven't had an opportunity to enjoy a lot of the counter service options, only because we've really typically been, it's been an in-and-out park for us. But just this last trip, upon Charlotte's recommendation, I stopped at the Yak and Yeti local food.
Okay.
I did not know before Charlotte had said so that Yak and Yeti has a counter service.
Yes, it does, right next to it.
So just to the right around the corner from Yak and Yeti is Yak and Yeti local food. And we were able to get the beef rice bowl, and we were able to get the honey chicken with rice, and they were both outstanding. They're both outstanding. Not huge portions, but still very, very good for what we were looking for.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the honey chicken's really good. We've had that a couple times. Now, another place in Animal Kingdom that I hope is going to be a trend for the rest of the parks in Walt Disney World is the Harambee Marketplace, or the market they have over in Africa. This opened up about 2 years ago now, I guess it is, where they've got, I want to say, 4 restaurants in a small area of seating. So basically you can kind of almost think the value resorts where you have the restaurants, where you have the multiple places you can go to get the different types of food. And the thing we like in there the most is the chicken on the skewer, or the chicken skewers. However, you do have a choice of other type of food, which is really nice. And you can get beers there, too, and just regular drinks. So, like I said, I hope they're going to be doing this other places. Like, I can almost see something like this in the Magic Kingdom somewhere, where you can have maybe in, like, Adventureland, you'd have this area opened up a little bit for restaurants and table and sit-downs and things like that. Or counter services is what I meant. Kind of like the kiosks, but organized in one area.
No, you're absolutely right, and that is certainly something that they could definitely take advantage of. I've had the ribs over at Harambee Market, and they were outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
I shared them, I think, in October. I ended up sharing them with a group of people just as a quick bite before we moved on. And that in and of itself was that's a great experience. And just to be able to go over there, to have multiple options. You're with a group of people, and somebody doesn't want ribs, but they want chicken. Somebody doesn't want chicken, but they want beef. So you have that option.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very much so. Now, kind of cool thing, and this is kind of a little bit of a tip, is that as long as it's when you're over there, there's two buildings that you're going up to with a couple windows. As long as you're in the one building, at any of the windows, you can get any of the food from that building. So I think the ribs are by themselves on the right, and then the skewers and the sausage and the hot dogs are like ahead of you, and the other food options. So whatever window you're at, you can actually kind of order any off of any of those menus, which is nice because there's always shorter lines elsewhere than the one you normally want.
That's a great tip. That's not something I knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's all connected. It's the same kitchen. And, yeah, that's something they were actually telling us at one point when they first opened them up, and they actually had cast members helping you out online and handing out menus and such. I do remember that from the beginning. So very, very good. Very comfortable. Very comforting.
That's great. Do you have anything else for Animal Kingdom?
Just honorable mention, because there are so many food stands in Animal Kingdom that I can't really say comfort food I can't really say a comfort counter service, but they do have these offerings at the different places. Like the one kiosk on the way between Africa and Asia has egg rolls, and there's another one that has like candy-covered nuts and things like that. So there's a couple places like that that we always like to kind of hit as we're passing by for that little snack or something, and there's a ton of them.
All righty, well, if we've wrapped up Animal Kingdom, I guess all that's left here for parks is Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And actually, that's probably my toughest one. So why don't you start this one out?
I'll start with the Backlot Express. And here's why I like the Backlot Express. Again, it's okay. It's not great. But it offers a allergy-friendly menu. So I go back to when I have the kids. These are some of the options that I can handle. And for me, that's kind of an environment. The Backlot Express is an environment counter service for that we can get our food. And there is seating inside, but I prefer to sit outside. There's a big tree. There's a decent amount of shade. But you're overlooking the Jedi training experience.
Right.
And to me, that's really cool to sit and watch and see that whole show. Because to me, it's a show. For them, it's an experience. But for me, it's a show. I'm not interacting with them. But I really think it's outstanding to watch. And I think it's really cool what they do with the kids. So I really like having that experience there.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's a fun restaurant inside, too, because it's got all those props and things like that. Kind of cool. You never know what you're going to find in there also.
Right.
Yeah. We kind of go between that place and now actually the commissary. I tell you what, we really, really liked where the Backlot Tour was. They had that little restaurant that was underneath the covering. Kind of like one side of it was the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids playground. The other side of it was the end of Pixar Place and where they had the statue for Splash, the fountain, Daryl Hannah's fountain. And John actually took us there a couple times. And that started it out where we were going almost every trip then. And it was great sandwiches and burgers. And unfortunately, that place is no longer there. We haven't really found anything else that's taken its place at Hollywood Studios for us yet. But Backlot Express has been pretty much it for right now. Plus, they offer some good deals as far as they have the special Star Wars mugs sometimes in there. And what's the big thing right now? Chicken and waffles?
Yes, that's it. Angela had the chicken and waffles.
Yeah. So that's a hit or miss thing. You can get really hard chicken nuggets, or you can get really good, like, you know, tender ones. So either way.
I mean, I agree with you that Hollywood Studios is... It's really tough. I really think that the future of this park is going to be great, and there is going to be a lot of growth and a lot of great experiences and a lot of really good food that's going to be coming along with the new upgrades that are the new renovation that's coming. So I think we'll have to wait and see what our new go-to restaurants are going to be here.
Sure. Oh, I'm looking forward to having a Star Wars Land restaurant to be my new go-to. and I haven't tried out Pizza Rizzo's, so I'm not sure exactly what that place is going to be about yet.
I have tried out Pizza Rizzo's. I I learned something about Pizza Rizzo's on this last trip, because Angela really liked Pizza Rizzo when we went in January. So we went to go back during this trip, and it closes at 4:30.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, wait, wait. How can you have a restaurant closing before dinner time?
I know. We didn't understand what was going on. We showed up there at like 4:45 and went to go pull on the handle, and it was closed. And Angela went and looked it up. It was closed at 4:30.
Was it just the seasonal time?
It must be just the seasonal time. But I thought it was because it was race weekend.
Oh, yeah. It would have been more crowded than normal.
Right, right. And it's school vacation week for certainly Massachusetts and up north. So I was really surprised to pull on that door handle and have it be locked. And we've gone there. We really like the meatball sub there is really good. The meatball sub and Caesar salad is good. We had the opportunity to share that the last time we went. And the venue itself is really nice. The food is okay, but the venue is, if you're a Muppet fan, you just got to go in and walk around and read everything on the walls. And there's a lot of fun going on inside that restaurant.
I can only hope so based on the rest of the Muppet Square.
It is. It's great.
Nice. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We have some time, so let's leave the parks. And as far as some other comfort counter services, the resorts, yeah, there's some good places. Lisa's got a real favorite one. What were you talking about before we started tonight?
Oh, for me, because my home resort is, and by home resort, I mean if ever I have an opportunity to book a stay and the money makes sense, we always book at the French Quarter. So for me, it's Sasagula Factory, and it's more so about what they offer. So for us, it's when we talk about comfort restaurants, for me, it's about comfort foods. And are there foods that when I'm leaning up towards the end of a trip, I haven't had a bucket of popcorn, or I haven't had a churro, or I haven't had a Dole Whip. And for me, it's I haven't had beignets yet. And beignets, the only place on property you can get a beignet is at French Quarter. And I am not a born and raised from Louisiana, New Orleans child like Jimmy is. So I haven't quite gotten his feedback on what the beignets are like. But for me, they were the best things I ever put my mouth on during a trip 6 or 7 years ago. And since then, I can't go to Disney without at least having an opportunity to grab a beignet.
Gotcha. No chance they don't have them over in France, over at Epcot?
Certainly not that I'm aware of.
Gotcha. Yeah. We had them. We were there one time and we had them, and I totally agree. It's definitely a good experience. We experimented a little bit by cooking them at home, too, using the recipe from the park. And, yeah, we didn't do too good.
I have to imagine it's one of those things that they've changed how they make them. When we were there just recently, they've changed how they make them. So they're more uniformed now. I think it used to be by hand, and they'd cut the dough, and you'd see them throw the dough into the fryer later. Now it's they pull the dough off these sheets, and they're already pre-cut, and they were still just as good, don't get me wrong, and they had a raspberry dipping sauce, which is really good, but they also had a coffee ganache, which was, we had not experienced that. That was new this trip. So, for me, I think all value and moderate counter service restaurants have, for the most part, the same food.
Pretty much.
But there's always that, you know, one or two things that are really unique to a resort, and for the French Quarter, it's the beignets, and we really love them. So it's really tough for us to go and not experience them. So we were at Coronado this trip, and when we were coming back from the race, we thought to ourselves, "Nope, we really have to go and get some beignets. We deserve it."
Good. Well, you need to reward yourself after your run. Now, I tell you what, as far as a counter service, comfort food type restaurant in the resorts, we really kind of been staying at the values the last, I don't know, dozen years or so. So we've been having the food court experience. Before that, we seem to have been able to do some of the better hotels. And if I had to pick one, it's going to be Captain Cook's. And if I want to get specific, I'm going to tell you to try the grilled cheese sandwich. It is the best grilled cheese on property. I don't know if it's the mix of cheeses or the bread they use or the vegetables they put into it, too. But it's really, really good.
You know what's really funny about that is that we had the opportunity, of course, we had the meetup on Sunday night at Tambu Lounge. And one of the things that we had walked into that event starving, so I had set Angela down for some food, and one of the things that everybody screamed was, you got to get the grilled cheese sandwich. And she came back without the grilled cheese sandwich, and she said it, she didn't see it on the menu. So that's certainly something to take a look at.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Not too comfortable anymore. Jeez. Well, and actually, as I was saying that, I was wondering if anything might have changed. I haven't been there since Trader Sam's has opened. So being right next to it, I don't know if maybe the menus might have changed up a little bit because of that.
That's an interesting thing to look into. And it's entirely possible that she missed it. But
yeah, no, there's not that big of a menu, you know. Okay, well, cool. And before we finish up, let's touch on Disney Springs. Now, there's a lot of new restaurants down in Disney Springs. Not sure exactly. I definitely haven't tried any of the new ones, and I'm not sure if that's going to even matter, though. Do you have yourself a comfortable favorite type of counter service at Disney Springs?
Oh, I do, and now I'm trying to think of it. I'll tell you what I get there. It's right next to Raglan Road, and they have a deep-fried hamburger.
Really?
Yes.
Just the burger, or are they tempuring, battering it?
No, it's battered, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's
holy crap.
Really good. And now I've got to be forced to look it up because it is, we went in October. Oh, it's right in between the hole in the wall bar that's there. I figured it out. It's Cooks of Dublin.
They deep fried burgers in Ireland?
Evidently, which is now have to go on my must travel to list.
Is it just burger and breading? Do they do cheese inside of it? Like, what's the deal?
It's a battered burger and chips. So it's hand battered beef burger topped with garlic mayonnaise and tomato chutney. It is great. It's $10. No, and it's really good. It's that Cooks of Dublin, which was, again, located right next to Raglan Road. I knew that when they were doing the construction for Disney Springs, when you walked over there, you kind of had to you had to walk along that construction wall in order to get there. It was tough to find. But that's certainly one of my go-tos for certain in Disney Springs.
Oh, nice, nice. Now, our go-to has always been Erlif Sandwich. Now, even about 5 years ago when I found out the Erlif Sandwich is on the Florida highways in the rest stops, that did not deter me from making this still one of our most special and comfortable places to go for food. I'm always guaranteed to get a great sandwich. I'm always guaranteed to get a affordable sandwich. And you can either sit there or you can get it to go because it travels very well.
Just like to hit on something that you just said, which is typically when we go to Disney World, we're looking for that unique Disney experience. And Erlif Sandwich is not something that we have in Massachusetts. And if we do, we don't have it anywhere near me. So I have been to an Erlif Sandwich and I do enjoy it. I think the only Erlif Sandwich I've been to, though, is not one at Disney. I think I've been to one in Las Vegas. So they do have them elsewhere, which tends to make me shy away a little bit from going to a restaurant that I know is elsewhere. And I just had this conversation with somebody recently that I don't often go to Rainforest Cafe because I've been to a Rainforest Cafe on the Jersey Shore, and we have a Rainforest Cafe up here north of Boston, or at least we used to. Now it's been closed. But I'm always looking for that unique Disney experience. But in saying that, I had a great experience this last trip, and it will now become one of my go-to counter service restaurants. We went to Blaze Pizza.
Okay.
And I thought Blaze Pizza was amazing, but Blaze Pizza's a chain.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't have it by you, I still think this is a great thing because it's your Disney restaurant now. But what's the big deal? What's the thing that stood out for a pizza place?
It was we stopped at Blaze Pizza the night before the race. So it was like 6:30 at night. The line was long, but they do a great job of moving through. So it is fire-cooked pizza. It's only in the oven for 100 seconds. So it's in and out. They make it fresh right in front of you, whatever toppings you want. Mm-hmm. So you go through this queue. I had looked at Angela halfway through the line and said, oh, it's like Subway, but with pizza.
Oh, okay. That's perfect explanation right there.
Sounds like they're pizza artists. So we just chose that we were going to get a regular thin crust pizza with marinara sauce, and then we got some onions and some peppers, and you know we could have thrown whatever we wanted on that. And then they hand us a little buzzer, and they throw that thing in the oven for 100 seconds. They pull it right out, they cut it up, they hand it to you, and off you go. And they can give it to you on a plate, and you can have it. You can share it. It was 6 pieces. So it was enough for us to share. And I got a salad that went along with it. We got an entree Caesar salad, which was in a very large plastic container because we got it to go. And we put the pizza to go, and we brought it back to the resort. And it was a great meal for a very reasonable price. And for having started that adventure outside in a line that was, you know, weaving back and forth, it was incredibly quick, maybe 10 minutes from the end of the line straight on through until we paid.
Oh, wow, nice. Blazes and blazing fast.
Right. So the food was really good. The service was excellent. It was a very unique experience. You can put whatever you want on your pizza. They cook it really quick for you. And the value is great.
What kind of pizza was it? Thin, thick, medium?
Yeah, it was for us, I think we got the thin crust or the traditional crust. They do offer a thick crust and almost like a deep dish. But there were things that there were three different types of crusts that you could use or you could have. And then you could do a white pizza with, you know, white Alfredo sauce. You could do with red sauce, you could do any type of toppings that you wanted. If you pretty much, you name it, they have it.
Nice. Awesome. Actually, that one just made my list. Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, guys. Well, that is some of the comfort counter service restaurants that we go to at Walt Disney World's. Those places that we know is going to have good food that we like. It's going to have plenty of room for us to find a seat. And it's going to be there and reliable. We want you to let us know what we missed. What's some of your favorite counter service restaurants at the parks? Some place that you would tell your friends about. Let us know. Send us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com. So that's it for this week, guys. Thanks for listening to show number 174. For Lisa, this is Ed. We're the Disney Nerds. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
So long, everybody.
To join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.